Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagen. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome, everyone. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden. It's Wednesday after the primary. Brought to you by?
By happytrees.co, great landscaping company. They sell, deliver, plant trees, and all take care of all of your landscaping needs. We use them. They're wonderful. And also Denver Cenogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. So, Chuck, this is a little behind the scenes of Chuck just sat down.
No, I've been here for days.
He's like squeezing in as if he's a little out of breath. That's what's going on.
I'm fine. I've been here for days.
All right. Well, a lot to unpack. We're going to talk about the primary. Chuck and I have probably on a couple of fronts, a little bit of different takes on it. But I also want to talk about a good piece of news. And that it's been kind of hilarious watching the latest January 6th bombshell testimony go up in smoke. But what I find interesting is the fact that it is now the corrupt corporate media are kind of reporting about the lies, which makes me think there's a puppet master somewhere trying to get rid of the whole January 6th committee meeting. Because, you know, I would have liked to have thought that maybe they were just doing their job fairly and objectively. But that's not even remotely. Yeah, from Dr. Donna Hutchinson, sure made a dope of herself in public. I know she's joining Jussie Smollett, whatever her name was, Bozzie Ford, who testified against Kavanaugh. I mean, even I was like, which is like, and the president lunged for the wheel. I thought to myself, I don't think he sits in the front seat of the Secret Service. You wouldn't think that'd be very secure.
So the Washington Examiner, which is owned by our good friend,
Phil Anschutz,
said
this crap headline.
Yeah, it says this proves that Trump is unfit for office. That Cassie Hutchinson is a credible, very credible. She was a big Trump supporter, and
blah, blah, blah.
Believe her. And they took that down to put up January 6th witness Hutchinson stands by all of her testimony. Counsel says,
It is kind of depressing when CNN is more fair and accurate on the Trump coverage than the Washington Examiner.
I mean, Phil Anschutz's board ought to just be
One believes it. Even those Cheney doesn't believe it. But anyway, let's unpack the primary. We've got Casper Stockham joining us here in a few minutes to talk about that too. And feel free, guys, if you want to call in, 888-627-6008. If you're on Zoom and you want to unmute yourself and weigh in, go ahead and do that. And if you want to just post in the comments, because we don't, Casper's our guest, but other than that, we're going to be just kind of talking about this and then the fun January 6th implosion.
And so, I mean, it to me, it's a good day for Trump, 12 for 12.
Nationwide,
including Lauren Boebert. It's a good day for Dick Wadhams and the establishment in Colorado, which won all the seats. I was talking to the vice chair of the Republican Party a couple days ago, and she asked me, what did I think the perfect result would be from it? And I said, well, I'd love all the grassroots, but for the party itself, it'd be great if it split up, because each would have parties, Republican candidates they supported that they'd want to see elected. So it's a general matter, since all the establishment won, and the establishment won often with just a plurality, sometimes
not
a bare majority.
Right.
They've got half the party who are not going to do anything. They're not going to spend all their time trying to make sure that the establishment gets to take all the money and put down the average person. They're just not going to do it. And so what they're going to have to depend upon is hiring people, because the grassroots are the ones, the PCPs and the ones who knock on doors and everything else. And so as a practical matter, half the party has no one on a statewide basis, or really on a congressional basis, to want to. Lauren Boebert won, who Trump endorsed, but she's pro-Trump, but she's no longer grassroots. I mean, she gave that up a while ago. And so you have no one to fight for, unless you think that a person who supports Roe v. Wade and some of these other awful candidates, you're going to spend all your time on a hot day in September trying to get them endlessly elected. And I have a feeling they're not. So the establishment wins all the positions. And well, they'll do all the work.
Right, right. You know, who really paid for the smear ads on Hanks, Tina, and Lopez? I think the Democrats did. Well,
on Tina, because that was very negative. Hanks and Lopez were smears to kind of encourage.
Yeah. And I think it's fair to say, and I'll give the Christy Burton Browns of the world this, that, you know, the Democrats wasted their money there. It didn't work.
Well, they didn't waste their money. I mean,
I think they have money to spare.
They got money to spare. Moreover, you got half the Republican Party who says, why should I try as hard as I can to get a semi-Democrat elected? O'Day. I mean, it's just
I'm going to just push back, and then I want to get into my analysis because it's
okay. We'll get Chilla's analysis here.
I will say this because I'm a PCP, and I'll say this. I will work for the. I mean, I feel
well, work as hard as you can.
Yes, and I think as a PCP, just like it was wrong for any of the other party officials, or county officials we've talked about to say, well, I'm going to work for this person and not for this person. I would not, as a PCP, say I'm not going to work for this person. I'll work for whoever wants me to work for and try to get.
But there are no. Other than establishment people.
Okay. And we'll get Casper on in a second. You know, Dr. Donna, so let me go through some numbers. Because initially I woke up, last night I went to bed and I was like all depressed because I thought, oh my God, you know, I've totally misread it. I thought that the grassroots was a big presence in Colorado. And, you know, initially it's like all the establishment candidates won. And I'm like, I'm completely misread the temperature of Colorado voters and Colorado Republicans. And then before I threw in the towel, I thought, well, let's just look at some facts and some evidence. So I want to go through that for you guys, because I submit, okay, we didn't get what we wanted, but
we didn't get anything we wanted.
Well,
really.
But what I'm going to say, though, what I'm going to go through, and particularly when you say, where do we go from here? It is not time to throw in the towel. Like I was saying, do we hold them, fold them? Do we double down? I think there is work to do, and there's plenty of reason to do the work. Because let me break this down for you guys. Okay, so Ron Hanks won 45% of the vote to Joe O'Day's 54% of the vote. Greg Lopez won 46% of the vote to Heidi Ganahl's 53% of the vote. Let's keep in mind, that's with all of everybody beating up on them, right? The media, everybody beating up on Ron Hanks and Greg Lopez. They still got pretty darn close to half of the people who voted in the primary voting for them. And I mean, Ron Hanks got 259,000 votes. Greg Lopez got 264,000 votes. So these are not overwhelming majorities in the cases where you had one establishment, one grassroots candidate. I mean, that's significant. And I think, and Republican grassroots people need to keep that in mind. And the other races I'm going to talk about, Secretary of State, CD8 and CD5. In all of those cases, as Chuck pointed out, the establishment candidate did not get a majority. They got a plurality, roughly, in the Secretary of State and CD8, 40%. I mean, that means 60% of the people voted not for the establishment candidate. So that's not a resounding victory. I mean, anybody who interprets that as a resounding victory for Pam Anderson, she only got 43% of the vote. And that's of the Republicans and the unaffiliated voters. She pulled in 242,000 votes. Well, 318,000 people, significantly more, voted against her. Some 60% of the people who voted against the establishment candidate. In CD8, it's even worse, right? Barbara Kirkmeyer got just about 40%. Again, don't be bored, Chuck. 60% of the people in CD8 voted against the establishment candidate, who had everything, money, organization, the media going for her.
She also ran the dirtiest campaign I've ever seen.
Okay, so
she's dirty, she's unethical, and she's crooked.
Okay, I want to just talk about the numbers here. So just let me do this, okay? So she got 19,000 votes, but almost 29,000, 10,000 more people voted against her than who voted for her. And even in CD5, where Dave Williams was running against an incumbent congressman, more people voted against Lambert, the establishment candidate, than voted for him. So, and then Dr. Don, you asked about the turnout. The turnout was roughly 28%, which was, I think, somewhat typical.
28% of what?
Of the active voters. They were according to the Secretary of State's office. Now, I don't know, there might be more current data, but when I looked this morning, they said there are 3.8 million active voters and roughly 1 million.
So that tells you once again why I said this is the worst result for the Republican Party could possibly have. They have their establishment win everything, but they barely win.
Right.
And so,
and they only win because there are multiple candidates, right?
In some cases,
more cases than not.
So,
really.
So when the go against the Democrats, it'll be a Herculean task to bring along the Republicans. Kirchmeyer ran the dirtiest campaign around. It's going to have a hard time getting Lori Sane voters to want to vote for her. She's going to have a tough time getting Jan Kuhlman voters for her. A very tough time. And she's got to appeal to, you know, the left to center. So it's very hard to appeal left of center and right of center. So what they do is they say unify, like Dick Wadham says, unify if it's establishment. If it's not, he's not going to vote for any grassroots people.
Well, and then this is from, let's go through some of the comments. And Casper, we'll bring you on in a second. This is from Sandra. You mean like Dick Wadhams, who said he would not vote for Greg Lopez,
right.
Ron Hanks, and Tina Peters.
Right.
Charlene, what's the difference between Bennett and O'Day? I seriously want to know. One has a... O'Day has an R in front of his name. Ryan,
an O in front of his name.
Well, yeah. Ryan, Vote Tracks texted me at 8 and said they got my ballot, but it still has not said they've counted it yet. That's interesting. This from Leo. Char, O'Day is still working on his crying on the Senate floor. 20 from Dr. Donna, 28%, in my opinion, is a poor turnout. And from Charlene, just tells you the establishment throwing in fake conservatives to split the conservative vote worked. Easy peasy. That's what Chuck said. But here's what I see what we need to do going forward. One, I think this shows that the establishment has given up going the assembly caucus route because they know they can't win, right? They don't even try anymore. So as long as, and I know Peg Cage and those guys, and you guys are working on this, but it is really important that grassroots Republicans, I think, stay, don't do what Chuck says. You need to stay active.
I'm not saying you don't stay active. What you have to do, your only choice now is to take over the Republican Party. Your next chair is everything. If O'Day wins, it means that all the establishment people, the abortion Barbies and everything else, will control the party. Unless we take the party back, you got to stay involved. But,
what I'm saying is stay involved really at the hyper local level, because, again, as long as the grassroots people control the caucus, and I bet you next time Ken Buck isn't going to go the caucus route, the assembly route, right?
No.
He almost lost. So we make sure that we have at least one grassroots candidate on the ballot and on the top line of the ballot. I think what we have to work much harder to do is to make sure that we don't have multiple candidates.
And you can't. This establishment puts those candidates.
Well, but
there.
Then you can work really hard to make that clear. And I just am saying,
I could have made it clear this time. Donald was an establishment candidate there to help defeat
Tina Peters.
I mean, there's no question about it. In fact, he did so well that he came in second.
But I think, though, again, I just woke up, I was really depressed last night.
And you should have been.
I don't stay depressed that long. But when I looked at it, it's like, wait, the mood of the voters is not, no, we want establishment candidates.
No, it's 50-50.
Actually a little bit more grassroots. Again,
the establishment candidates
who won when there was just one grassroots candidate against them, got 53%, 54%. Granted, that's a victory, but that's not a ton. And the other candidates barely got 40%.
Well, it's like Ted Trump has said, that's why the Republican Party will never win, because they have two factions, one faction represented by Dick Wadhams. So they'll say, I'll never vote, help, or participate with a grassroots person. And now you got a candidate. Are the grassroots people, all the people who put up in our chat, supposed to go running, contributing their time, money, and effort to get an abortion Barbie like O'Day elected? Well, maybe if you want to, that's okay. You can always argue that no matter how left-wing the Republican is, he's not quite as far left as the Democrat. And that's what the establishment does. And that's what Phil Anschutz does.
But what I'm saying, though, is I mean, I think still in all in Colorado, any candidate is Republican candidate is going to have a very tough time. And that's, I think, putting it mildly.
Well, I think O'Day could win. I think, you know, if you look at the polls and so forth, that Bennett does not have a lot of support. You can imagine a day in which O'Day wins. But he'll be somebody who will stab in the back every hardworking Republican.
Okay, right. But again, Chuck, I'm trying to be where I was. The reason.
Well, you can be happy today. You can be happy about Trump's victories. I think Trump continues to win across the country. Nationally, looks good. Colorado, this is for Republicans the worst of days. A 50-50 split where one side, which is the establishment, wins every position virtually. And the other side gets none. So you have no one in your party who can be elected from the grassroots to a statewide office. It's not possible.
But again, if grassroots can get organized and stay organized, and
they need a
billionaire. The next time, all right, Chuck. But at least the temperature of the Colorado voter.
It's the same. It's been the same that Trump has said before. The Colorado Republican Party is split in half.
Right.
It is just split in half. And that way, it's never, you know, if you're just looking at Republicans, you know, you don't care if they're Mitt Romney Republicans. This is the worst day you could have because it takes the other side, the grassroots side, any reason to want to work in the fall.
Yeah. This is from Dr. Donna. And then actually, let's bring up Casper. Hey, Casper, I saw you were there. If you want to go ahead and bring yourself up. Real quick, Dr. Donna, I'll answer this and then Casper will get your opinion. Your opinion on what Danielle Neuschwanger is doing for the general. She's running as an independent.
I think
constitutional
party.
Thing.
Not going to make any difference.
Yeah, you know, I don't know about that. I guess my opinion is, number one, she has the right to do that, right? She has the right to do that. And if she wants to do it and can get on the ballot, then she can. I don't know that she would actually hurt Danielle that much. I don't know. What do you think? Heidi Ganahl. Casper Stockham, GOP strategist, trainer.
Looking a little sad along with us over here.
We'll ask you an easy one first before I get in. What about what Danielle Neuschwanger running as on the constitutional candidate?
I think she will maybe get 2-3% of the vote. A lot of hardcore Danielle supporters out there that I've talked to personally and said, look, you know, you need to not be supporting Danielle. She has left the Republican Party, so she's not in play anymore. But she's still traveling around the state and talking to people. So, you know, I think about 2-3% is what you'll get, but it's going to come from our side. That's the problem.
Okay. Let me ask you, and I see Wes we
have a side still.
Well, your analysis, your thoughts on last night.
Yeah. So last night, you know, like Chuck was saying, you're saying, you know, it was an establishment win all across the board. You know, the Dick Wadhams of the world, you know, they would, I don't think, and he said it, said as much, you know, he wouldn't support a Ron Hanks or Tina Peters or Greg Lopez.
Or any grassroots person.
Or any grassroots person. And they haven't in the past, and they've even spent money against grassroots people, you know, to support the Democrats. So, you know, that doesn't surprise me. But if we ever want to win our state back, we have got to come together. There is a time for fighting and bickering and everything else, and that time is over. You know, like Chuck said, you know, the next time the chair race is up, we, you know, put up a good candidate, one candidate, not two or three or five or whatever. Right. We find one person we can all get behind.
Right.
You know, we go into a room and we come out with one candidate to go up against the chair. Otherwise, you know, we're just going to keep the same people in process. And I mean, in charge.
Right.
And the same goes for these CD races, you know, the Lamborn race had there only been one candidate against Lamborn, more than likely, you know, if it was Dave Williams, more than likely he would have won.
I agree with that. You know, I think hurting Republicans, I always say, is like hurting cats. Hurting grassroots Republicans is like hurting a million cats.
Those weren't grassroots Republicans. Heaton was not a grassroots Republican. He was an establishment hack.
I understand what you're saying, but the point is, like Casper says, the numbers, if there was only
one
candidate.
But they're not going to be one because the establishment is going to put up somebody like Heaton, and it's just going to, they're not going to run. They're not going to raise money. They're not going to do anything. There'll be a name on the ballot, and that's what Heaton was. He was a name on the ballot. Clinton, or whatever her name is, was another name on the ballot. And so these are establishment people. They're not grassroots people. The establishment's always going to run one more than one candidate. I mean, they just are. And that's smart.
What they didn't in City 4, you know, and Bob Lewis, he got top line out of the assembly. You know,
yeah, but he ran
point.
A terrible campaign. Yeah. Terrible campaign.
I thought it was a decent campaign. I mean, you know,
well,
24%
is not a decent
No. Vote. I'm not talking about the outcome. The outcome sucked, but I'm talking about what he did for 60 days. You know, when you have 60 days from the assembly until it's time to vote. So that's not a lot of time to get out into a complete CD district.
Well, it's without money. He had no money. Yeah. He's a good guy, right. And he tried hard. But everything I heard from there was
big thing though, Casper. I don't know how much I was saying last night. I was really depressed because I thought, okay, you know, clearly I've been misreading Colorado voters or misunderstanding or overestimating grassroots enthusiasm. But then again, I look and all of the establishment candidates, the two who won again, Ganahl and O'Day, didn't win by a ton, and the other ones didn't even get a majority. So I'm saying there still are more people opposed to the establishment candidates than there are for them.
50-50.
And I think that gives us something to work with, right? And that gives me hope anyway.
Yeah. But like I said, you know, in my mind, and you know, guys, I'm like 110%. You know, we're all on the same page on this podcast. But at the end of the day, it's either support Heidi or go home or whatever. And then we get Jared Polis. So I've already reached out to Heidi's campaign. I've endorsed her. As far as I'm concerned, you know, we all need to get behind
Heidi.
Well,
good. And vote and endorse O'Day and
go pro with you,
and be an abortion Barbie along with the rest of them.
I'm going to disagree with Chuck in here too. Yeah. I mean, some candidates I might have a problem with, but Casper, on that one particularly, I liked your comment. I give you a little heart. I agree with you there. I don't, I'm not thrilled about it, but I would rather have Heidi Ganahl as a governor than Jared Polis.
Well,
how about
Barbara Kirkman? Is there a dirtier politician out there?
I would rather,
but
I hate
again,
to say,
all
I'd rather have her
politics
than.
Politics is a dirty business. The only problem is Republicans take it personally. Democrats just, you know,
they don't compete. They don't have primaries.
Well,
there are no Democratic primaries.
You're correct. They don't have as many primaries as we do. But like Hillary and Barack Obama, they were at each other, calling each other all kind of nasty names. And he makes her Secretary of State. Kamala Harris called Joe Biden a racist on stage at debate.
Right.
And he makes her
VP.
Yeah, it makes her VP. You know, Bernie Sanders says all kind of crazy things. And at the end of the day, as long as he gets another house, you know, he endorses the candidate.
If I got another house,
Casper,
I'll become an abortion Barbie.
What do you think? I mean, Heidi Ganahl's of the world have to do is there's somebody like me. There are people like me who say, okay, she wasn't my first, but I'd rather have her than Polis. You've got people like Chuck who say no.
I didn't say no.
Not no, but
I'm just not going to give my time and money to Heidi Ganahl. I mean, it's okay. You know, she's better than Polis, just like every establishment is slightly. Mitt Romney is better than a Democrat. And I don't know, probably Mitt Romney's better than Fidel Castro. But, you know, whoopee. That's my whole choice in life is Phil.
Okay,
is Mitt Romney. Well, Heidi Ganahl ran the worst campaign I've ever seen.
But my
she
question
wouldn't
to
answer
Casper.
Questions. She's going to get, she was pathetic.
This is my question to you, though, Cass, because you've been involved in campaigns. In the end, though, if they want to beat Polis, they need the Mies, they need the Chucks.
They don't want the Chucks.
What, to
they
win.
Don't want the Caspers. They don't want anybody.
They
want
to win, though.
It doesn't matter if they want us or not. If they want to win, they need us and need to do outreach from day one. They should have been doing outreach last year. But, you know, I've reached out to Heidi. I said, look, you know, you actually need me to help you go into these areas and win some hearts and minds and stuff. So if she does it, great. If she doesn't do it, that's on her, because at the end of the day, I want to make sure that it's not on me that they lost.
Right.
That's all. Okay, I'm saying. I just want to do my part. I want to do my part.
Everyone's disagreeing with me. Charlene says Julie's has been misreading establishment strategy, not conservative support. Chuck is right about everything. That's because the Dems are all commies. Republicans are split into two parties. And Sandra says, no, she agrees regarding Heidi Ganahl with Chuck. So that's where, there you go. It's like she will also need, well, yeah, she will also need Greg. Dr. Donna says Heidi will also need Greg to help go into his areas. I think Greg's already endorsed her, right?
Yes, he has. And here's what all of us need to do. At the end of the day, are you responsible for the Democrats still being in charge? Whether I don't care who you don't like and you don't like this issue and that issue. At the end of the day, what did you do to make sure that things move forward? For well, our
what's moving forward to you? Killing small babies?
No.
Is that moving forward to you?
I'm not. You know, but
well, then why is O'Day okay to you? If O'Day believes in abortion and you're going to support an abortion candidate?
That issue is not okay. But I believe, and also I believe in the Reagan's 11th commandment. So he is like, O'Day is 60, 70, 80%, whatever. On our side,
Is he on our side with? What issue has he come out that's on our side with?
He's going to fight Biden.
Yeah. Fight Biden? He's going to fold to Biden. He's going to be at the White House down on his knees. Biden's butt the day he gets there.
He's going to fight for you.
He's not
going to
fight for anybody
but
himself.
Here's what I think, and we're not going to, because we've got Wes here, we'll bring him on. Some of this we're not going to agree on. I also think,
agree.
No, we don't. But I also think, though, that we still do. And Charlene, I know what you say about misreading, you know, the Democrat establishment. But I think, again, that the people who voted against the establishment candidate are still out there.
They've always been. It's been a 50-50 split for a decade.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead, Charlene.
Yeah. You know, the establishment are counting on people like Casper and Julie. They know they can do whatever they want and they will come around. And, you know, when they threw in those conservatives, that's when I knew that that was their strategy. But it goes much higher than that. I mean, the Democrats knew they had lost. I mean, the WEF and the Soros and the people that run things, they knew they had lost the Democrat vote when they put barricades up around the Capitol. They knew they weren't going to elect any more Democrats. So they infiltrated the Republican Party. Yes. They're backing Republicans now. Right. So,
but you guys are missing the fact there's a time to fight and a time to do the
stuck
right
up
thing.
To the power brokers.
Yeah. The objects in the, let me just finish. The objects in the rearview mirror are closer than they appear. Right now in the Netherlands, they are using Stasi methods to shut down small farms for growing their own food because of the nitrogen, the fertilizer.
I'm not sure what that has to do with the primary.
Well, no, because Casper, you were like, oh, well, we just can turn this thing around. Next time around, let's just get some.
There's a time to fight and there's a time not to fight. And right now the time to fight
time
is
to
gone.
Help the establishment.
But
help
what
the establishment as much as you can.
Let Charlene finish.
Help abort the babies. Let's start our own abortion plan.
Yeah, Casper, what are you fighting for? What I'm saying is that there's no time to, well, get the grassroots going and we'll elect a good chair. You saw how they outmaneuvered us with that on Buck and, you know.
Yeah,
but not
enough people got behind me, so if we have enough people get behind the candidate, we can win.
Right. No. They're outmaneuvering you every time. They're counting on your weakness. Let her say her piece. Okay. Well, what I would do is it since it's this late in the day, they've already let us know that they're not going to do what we want. They're not conservatives. They're fake.
Yeah.
And so I would get behind just to let it be a lesson for the future and for the present. See how many conservative votes you can get out there with write-in candidates. That's what I would do. It's going to take a major, major upheaval in the political establishment to get anyone to pay attention. And we are so going back into the same old trenches, fighting the same old warfare. I mean, it's just, we got to think out of the box. We can't, oh, well, let's all come together. The reason the Democrats come together is because they're all commies. They've got a plan. There's two different groups. There's two different groups in the Republican parties. There's the semi-commies, and then there's the Patriots and the conservatives. So that's why we're not coming together. I mean, you know, it's late in the day, and I mean, each to his own. You know, I mean, you know, they're going to blame everybody.
You're trying to play poker at a crap table. You can't play a different game. You got to know what game you're in. And right now, we are horrible at playing the game. There's a time, you know, for the chill out the cards, and there's time to roll the dice, and we're not doing any of that correctly.
The people that control the show have sold out. They've got the money, and they've sold out.
I think Charlene's saying the deck is stacked. So what do you do when
the deck
is
so stacked? No matter what we try to do, oh, let's drum up conservative. Oh, we got them drummed up. You saw how the convention went.
You saw how it went.
And now they're going to move the goalpost.
Charlene, we're going to go to West.
Okay, yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Charlene.
Okay,
Charlene, thank you. And Casper, we're going to let you go. Unless you want to, let me give you one last word.
Leave him here. I want to.
Wes says leave him here. Okay, Wes Eimer is there. Wes, hey, your mom had a disappointing night last night. You guys did a good job, though. Fighting all the way. Yeah, you fought all the way, so.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And I just want to chime in a little here. And if Casper wants to go, he can. But I want to chime in and say that my honest opinion on this, and all of us on this podcast right now have been agreed in the fight to end the open primary. Mm-hmm. That is the only way we save this state. Because I have not seen the numbers yet, but I was just going over the CD7 numbers. And I would almost guarantee you that there were enough unaffiliateds that voted in CD7 to make up the margin between either Eric Odland and Tim Reichert or Tim Reichert and Laurel Eimer, right? I guarantee you there were enough unaffiliateds that came over from the Democrats, just like they did in Lauren Boebert's district, to vote in our Republican primary and put the weakest possible candidate up. I would all but guarantee it. And that has been the story around the state. Look at Pam Anderson. Look at Heidi Ginnall. Look at Joe O'Day. None of us want them. I'm probably not going to vote in Senate general. I'm probably just not even going to vote. Or if they run a third party candidate that I can get behind, I'll probably vote for them. Because I sure as hell am not voting for pro-choice, baby murdering Joe O'Day. And Heidi Ginnall, I will vote for because Heidi has been a long friend. I truly believe that she does have Colorado's best interests at heart. I will vote for Heidi. I would prefer Greg. I voted for Greg. And I voted for Ron Hanks too. But ideally, we have to, as Casper's saying, there's like a happy medium between the arguments y'all are saying.
I agree, Wes.
We have to pick somewhere to give, right? Because either way, a Republican's better than a Democrat. Joe O'Day is no better than a Democrat. So we're just going to not vote or vote for Michael Bennett because at least we know what we get. Right.
So let me ask you this, Wes, in terms of going forward, like I keep saying, though, and I understand, Chuck, what you're saying and Charlene is that the Democrats, they're playing and they're throwing in fake candidates. But again, I still say, but the voters don't overwhelmingly like the establishment candidates. So, Wes, what do you do if you're in charge of the grassroots? I mean, the trouble is no one's in charge of grassroots, which is the issue.
Exactly. The grassroots do their own thing all the time. And that's part of the problem.
And that's part of the reason there's hope. What do you, I mean, get aside from the general election now, but going forward, let's say looking to 2020 and some of the candidate, what
2020 is less.
That would be looking back.
2024,
you know, we're going to have a presidential election year and we have to do everything we can to beat Joe Biden. I truly think that the grassroots in this state are still behind the right people. I mean, the grassroots was behind Laurel Eimer. You can see that in the votes. But as you're saying, the grassroots don't overwhelm because the problem is the uneducated voter. There are so many uneducated voters in all these districts that they go to whoever sends them the prettiest mailer or the nicest text message or the best phone call, right? That's where these uneducated voters go. So I think that, and Laurel's highlighted this issue as well, and I don't know what our next moves are yet, but yeah. I can promise you we are not going away. Okay. And neither is Casper, I'm sure, neither are any of us. You know, we're all staying in the fight for America, and we're going to do everything we can to support local candidates. We said that last night in our statement. We're going to support every local candidate we can. We're going to try and stop this abortion issue here in Colorado. But I think moving forward, we have to focus on educating voters. If we don't, from the party level, see, this is where a state party comes in, and that is why the party elections are going to be so important. I don't know if Christie's running for re-election. I don't know what Priscilla's doing. But we have to focus on our party election in 23, because if we can get someone in there that is willing to educate these voters and spend actual money that we can try and raise and that we can try and get from out of state to educate voters, we'd have a totally different electorate.
And play fair, you know, exactly. And play fair. And play
exactly.
Fair.
But the problem, like I said, is the uneducated voter, because those uneducated voters got a phone call from Tim Reichert and they got a mailer from Eric Odland and they got a mailer from Tim Reichert, you know, and they said, oh, well, this mailer looks best like this guy. Okay, whatever. The problem is they don't do their due diligence. They didn't research the money behind Eric Odland. They didn't research some of the positions from Tim Reichert on abortion. And they didn't research, you know, who Laurel Eimer was, right? And so that is where it comes down to, is really getting information to the voters at the outreach level, like Casper's been talking about for years, and focusing on the future, not playing from behind like we have every election cycle since I've been around, which is only 6 years.
That's what Ted Trimpe said too. The Democrats did that. All right. Hey, well,
listen, thanks, Wes. Appreciate it.
Let you go. Say hey, and again, I'm so glad and appreciate you guys fighting the good fight.
Of course. And, you know, stay tuned, guys. I mean, like I said, we aren't going anywhere. We are taking a couple few days off just to kind of regroup and shut things down and regroup, and we'll be back. So you know, the Eimers are going nowhere, whether the liberals like it or not. We're still
all right. Thank you, sir. Thanks,
guys. All right. Well, let me ask a question of Casper. It seems to me that you can distinguish between people like Heidi Gnall.
Yeah.
Who really didn't do anything ugly or cheating or underhanded or sleazy. She's not a Democrat. She's a, you know, she's got a nice person. So I have no problem going out and helping Heidi Gnall. Now, Barbara Kirkmeyer in CD8 lied about Laurie Sane, ran a dirty campaign.
She did. And I came out and spoke out about that.
Yeah. Well, so I'm not going to spend too much of my time or money transporting. And Joe Day is a person who's given money to Democrats.
Maybe you can give some to him.
Huh?
Maybe the Democrats can give some back to him. He can call them up. He can call Michael Bennett and say, hey, look, and that money I gave you, can you just send that back
my way? So there are certain candidates, I think, grassroots people can hold their notes. Say, okay, our guy didn't win. Greg ran a great campaign. He just didn't get over and not. With Barbara Kirkmeyer, you kind of go, you lied, you cheated, you're a dishonest person.
Yeah.
And she's worse than O'Day, who at least said, yeah, I'm pro-abortion. I mean, at least he's got to go, he's honest.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting that we support candidates, just carte blanche, whatever. What I'm saying is that I can easily get behind Heidi, so that's what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to try to get behind Joe O'Day and all these other candidates necessarily. Right. I'm going to get behind somebody I know I can feel comfortable with getting behind.
Yeah,
now, I don't live in CD8, so I don't have to make that decision about Barb Kirkmeyer.
Well, you don't have to live in the district, as you know.
You could probably vote 3 or 4 times in CD8 if you put your mind to it, Casper.
You can run in a district, you can vote in the district, yeah, whatever. You know, so we're still a part of the Republican Party, and until a Trump-type person can come alongside and create a third party, we're stuck here. So we're stuck in the party. So we have to figure out a way how to turn this into the party we want it to be turned into. Right. Just like we're fighting with the Dick Wadhams of the world, because they want to keep it as the establishment party. We want to turn it into America First and so forth. So Colorado is out of sync with the rest of the nation, from my perspective, because Trump nominees are winning all across the nation. Mm. But in Colorado, not so much, right? I mean, if there was a straw poll right now, Trump would not win that straw poll. It'd be Ron DeSantis, or somebody else.
Right.
So we're out of sync with the rest of the nation. So we have to still fight within the system that we're in. It's jacked up. And, you know, I'm not arguing with Charlene's point. She's making great points, but we're still in the party.
This is where we are today.
This is where we are today. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, which is I'm working within the system. I'm going to support Heidi. And then as soon as that election is over, now we can start talking about how do we change leadership? If we want to change leadership, how do we do it?
How do we do it?
I think that's a principal position, because I think Heidi has done nothing. She didn't run a good campaign, and Craig almost blew off the biggest upset ever. But she didn't. She's not dishonest. But O'Day is a Democrat.
Although I did get a Democrats. Donut at the assembly from his people.
Well, that's okay. Well, never mind then.
I'm not that easily bribed, Joe O'Day.
And Barbara Kirchmeyer is just a dirty politician. Just morally, I don't care which party she's on. She's a dirty politician.
I heard some of those ads against Lori Sane, and I've known Lori for a long time, over 10 years. And I did a video cut for Lori. I said, what can I do to help you? Because these are lies that they're putting out against you.
Well, so, and I think
that's all we can do.
What you guys are saying, and I would agree with this too, is it doesn't have to be an all or nothing kind of thing. And which is the way the world is. And again, there isn't any, PowerPoint three-step solution. That's not how we got here. And I think, Chuck, a lot of it goes back to what you say, as you opened up talking about, even CNN is saying that the Hutchinson testimony and the January 6th thing was a joke. And the Washington Examiner,
which owned by Phil Anschutz,
is saying, this shows why Trump shouldn't be elected. So when I think some of that is, when you talk about Colorado being out of step with the rest of the nation, I think that becomes part of the problem here too. And
Colorado's out of step with the nation is because the richest billionaire in the state funds most of the party. And he is an anti-Trump Rockefeller Republican.
A lot of them are anti-Trump. So
we can't
change this with like a Danielle Newsom. No. We can't change it with her because she's outside of the system. We can't change it with her. We have to play within the system. Had she stayed and had Daryl Gibbs stayed, they would have been players within the system. And she would have been, cause she's a very, very articulate and she's got great ideas, but she's outside now.
Right.
She has to be inside in order for those to take root. She could have run for chair next time. Right. Because if she had all these problems with the chair. Okay. Then fine. Run for chair.
Right.
But now
she's
done.
Well, we
now
know what happens when you run for chair. They cheat you out of it. Like they did Susan
Beckman.
We'll
have to see what happens. And I think this will be a big factor too. What happens in the general election, right? Yeah. I mean, to see.
What's going to happen in the general election is the Republican candidates, with the exception of Mabel Bennett, are going to get killed because they have neither the money nor the enthusiasm nor the backing of half their party, much less the rest of the state. Yeah.
If they don't do a good job of bringing us together, you're right.
They never do.
They never do. I agree. But,
Well, and you're right. And then they'll continue losing. So, all right. Well, Casper, thank you.
We lose some of the, we're some of the best losers I've ever seen.
Yeah, we're great losers.
they're not on Twitter. I can't believe how vicious people were being on our feed on Twitter. It's like,
really?
Yeah, talk about sore winners. It's like, give me a break. I didn't know.
I'm sorry. I wanted to say something about that. I posted. I said, look, when Greg lost, his concession speech was very kind to Heidi or whatever. He's a class act.
Yeah.
But if you win and then you complain about the money that almost stopped you from winning, what is that? Right. You won.
Right. It's like, don't be a sore winner. It's kind of like that.
Nothing worse than a sore winner.
Yeah. Right. Sore loser. At least you can understand. Yeah, Why are you attacking me on Twitter? You won, Those people, that's why I broke my rule about looking at comments. I usually don't because of that. I learned the hard way a couple of years ago. All right. Well, Casper, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Casper. Best of luck
for coming on too. And we'll see how this goes. It's going to be interesting times at the very least, huh?
Yep. And come the first of the year, we're probably going to start up our trainings again, because training is important. We got to train candidates. And Eric, even though I know Weston is not happy, but Eric was one of our candidates in one of our first classes that we
completed. Eric fits in the same mode that I would say Heidi Ganahl
does.
I would
agree too. Yeah,
Eric did nothing, I thought, with it wasn't up and up. I mean, he is who he is, but he certainly ran a fair campaign, and you have to give him credit
and answered the question straightforward. Yes. No, I agree with that. I mean, we're not in CD7, so it doesn't, you know,
used to be.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter. But I agree with you there too. And as you say, he was one of yours, so there you go. Yeah, I think you should take credit for that. Then.
Yeah, or blame.
Something.
Yeah.
All right, Casper. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. There. Let's see some of the comments here from people. Charlene, Heidi's a placeholder for Rhino. She loves Danielle. The establishment wouldn't let Danielle have everything. Dr. Donna says enthusiasm is not enough. Heck, I have plenty of that. You're right, Dr. Donna, you need money. And then Charlene says she did not lose because of the establishment. Then Sandra says Danielle had a questionable history. You know, we were at the assembly. I just think that there wasn't that much. I don't think there was anything. I know Danielle had some questions about how it was counted.
Danielle's has some problems. She accused Polis of being a closet heterosexual prostitute. I mean, that's a bit much, but I think they did screw her over at the assembly. And certainly Heidi KBB is certainly happy to do that.
Right. Well, and I think, which won't happen is you need people in leadership positions who don't put their fingers or their thumbs on the scale at all.
I don't think
we resolved anything here today, did we? Well, we kind of did.
We got it all worked out. We're all ready to go forward.
Again.
Elect the rhinos. Elect the rhinos.
I think.
Get out there, run the streets and bang on every door saying, we must get rhinos.
It's not like Ukraine, right? We're not like Ukraine. There
can
is.
Be.
Well,
could be.
Well, we could get bombed by the rhinos at any moment.
Yeah.
But I mean, the voter, the people, right?
The people,
as you said, are kind of 50-50. It's not like the grassroots is buried. I agree with you. I don't think the establishment is going to figure out a way to reach out to the grassroots.
They're not
going to
bother.
But they're not going to win without us. And I also
think, they don't care.
Well, I guess you're right. The consultants get paid the same, win or lose.
They don't care.
Yeah.
They're happy to lose.
See, they should maybe change the rules. And if your candidate loses, you have to, like in a civil suit, right?
Yeah,
if you lose
costs.
Sometimes, you have to pay costs. You should have to.
We'd be paying a lot of money.
you'd have to. But if you were a consultant, you have to give the money back.
Yeah, all consultants ought to give all
real
money
quickly,
back.
I want to just go into another conspiracy theory I have.
Okay.
So, and this is on the January 6th committee, because you guys will be talking about this forever. So don't worry. And again, we can, there's lots of thoughts here and lots of ideas and lots of agreement and disagreement. But this Mark Meadows aide. So first I'm thinking to myself, why is this aide know so much? Is she super aide, super duper aide? So she testifies that while Trump was throwing plates of food against the wall, that Trump like reached across and tried to attack the Secret Service and wrestle the steering wheel out of his hand. And that she wrote the note, that said that we shouldn't go into the Capitol. I mean, she's telling all of this stuff, all of which was.
And I don't know if you saw, but there was pictures of Liz Cheney hugging her before her testimony.
Right, for her objective testimony. So clearly, and like if she was going to say all this, why they didn't come up with it before? So clearly, not only listening to it, did you have to think, I bet she's lying, but immediately afterwards, the Secret Service comes out and says she's lying. The guy who actually wrote the note, who was a former lawyer.
So that's not your handwriting.
That's not your handwriting. I wrote the note. I told the committee that before too. So we all know that that's a lie. That's not shocking, but what shocked me, and I'm wondering what's going on here. What shocked me was the fact that NBC, ABC, CNN, all of these other corporate, corrupt media organizations were reporting this almost immediately. Now, these are the same people who ignored the Russia hoax, who've actually lied about the, do keep talking about all the people killed by Trump supporters at the January 6th insurrection, who hid the Hunter Biden laptop story. So it's not as if they decided suddenly to be fair and objective and honest.
Who knows, yeah.
But something is going on that suddenly all of these corporate media people, the same day the testimony came out, immediately worked to discredit it. I mean, right. I think there is, I don't know if it's Arabella, I don't know if it's lawfare. There is a puppet master somewhere pulling the strings, I believe, that has decided this January 6th committee stuff has to end. That why, I mean, I don't know if any.
Well, they lost, assuming they had any credibility, They all of a sudden say, you know, stop the presses. We're going to do a special night broadcast. Here it is. It's going to be here. We've come across as a dishonest, corrupt group.
But why? My question is the corporate media, which would have happily earlier.
I think you're right.
It.
I think they think that, I think, you know, concentrate on abortion. Don't bother with this January 6th. Nobody wants to hear it. Let's just get this over with because it's embarrassing.
Well, and I think when you look at what roughly 80% of the country in the latest, and this is a political poll, right? Mm-hmm. Said the country is going in the wrong direction. So I think somebody is saying to Congress, that's what I think anyway, which is good because I think they wanted to try to use the January 6th committee to try to make it impossible for Trump to run again, like that would work if he wants to run again. But I think that's where that's been going. And I think they've wanted to use it to crack down on Americans who disagree with them, to call us terrorists, things like that. And I think somewhere somebody has decided this isn't working. We need to drop it because I can't think of any other reason.
They've got to tell the Washington Examiner though.
Well, the Washington, because they're not in that circle, right? They're not in the liberal circle. They're like they weren't even on their email.
They didn't even get the email.
They reported it, and then immediately these corporate media groups, what Rush Limbaugh used to call the drive-by media, immediately they were the ones who first even came out and said, oh, it's not true.
Yeah.
So I thought, if you're Liz Cheney, you're like, wait, how come, you know, if you're
Nancy Pelosi, primary still.
Yeah.
Come on.
Nancy Pelosi was like, wait a minute, I thought you guys loved us. It's like, no, not anymore.
Not anymore.
And I don't know who that would be, but well,
Soros
nobody who wants, nobody who cares about us, I guarantee you that.
No, that's for sure.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for
us
today. Let me make sure if there's any other comments. Let's see. Okay, at least Sandra, somebody agrees with me about something today.
Well, something today.
You're right, Julie. The January 6th committee continues to commit suicide. Thank God. We will continue talking about it and seeing the fallout. And where do we go from here? Because I think that's even more important. Where do we as grassroots people go from here? Because I think there's room.
There's room for us at the end. No, there's not.
There's room for us to go somewhere. Maybe
somewhere to hell. That's where we're going.
What did Peter's song used to be? The highway to hell. Friday is Party Friday.
Party Friday. So we'll keep this party going.
We'll keep the party going. Thank you to everyone on Zoom, to Casper, Wes, and the great guys at BBS. And we'll see you on Friday.
Thanks, everybody.